letting us be here. Amen. So we're not going to prolong the time. We thank God for letting us praise Him. Because He said if we don't, that the rocks will cry out. And I don't want to hear no rocks crying out.
That's right.
Amen. So we want to stay right in that groove, and we will give Him praise.
Yeah.
Amen. So I'm going to call your attention to a text that we've had alluded to here a number of times today, which is the theme of this particular celebration of 4 years of the man of God and the woman of God in leadership here at this wonderful church. I have to say something about the church here. I hope y'all won't mind standing just before we read the text just a minute to say that Peter said we are lively stones, a living stone. Every one of us is a stone in the building of God. It's not the brick and mortar that we come and assemble in. You are a stone, and God's word and His spirit makes us in one big building to God that He inhabits. Amen. So He inhabits His praise. So when we praise Him, He inhabits us.
Amen.
But let's read here. We're going to read just a few verses to set the theme, and they are the thematic verses for this particular occasion. And they're found in 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. You probably have heard these, and we're going to talk about them just a little more here this evening, if God permits. We're going to take a look here in the first verse, 2 Timothy 4 and 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God, and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who have loved His appearing. That is the word of the Lord to the people of God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I just want to talk just for a little while in honor of this man of God and this woman of God who are overseeing this house about the necessity of preaching the word.
All right. Amen.
The necessity of preaching the word. Amen. It is absolutely necessary. We live in an instant society today. People don't have much patience anymore. We're the people who sit there and stand in the microwave and pat our feet. It's not getting done quick enough. When our mothers and fathers used to have to go out and find some wood, cut the wood, dry the wood, bring the wood in, set a fire, or either they kept a fire burning in the fireplace, or it was way different. And now we have something that will cook something in about 10 minutes, and it's not quick enough for us. Yeah, we want a laser oven now. We don't have a microwave, not good enough. We'll hit it with a laser, now I can eat it. That's how impatient we are as a people. Somebody may come up with one. Don't be surprised next week you go down to Best Buy, and they got a laser cooker in there. You just hit it, that's it, and it's done. Well, that's the way people are. We have an instant society. They don't have time. We don't want to take time to really get into what thus saith the Lord. That's one problem. Impatience. We're impatient. We want it now. Everybody, the advertising people cater to that. Burger King, you can have it your way. Skip McDonald's will come to us, and they're all fighting against one another. You see, because they want it right now. You want it your way, you want to have it the way you want it. But what Paul says here. Now, we talked just a hair about his background. He is writing to Timothy.
Yes.
And Timothy, of course, is his, let's call him his son in the ministry, son in the faith. It was Timothy who he met in the book of Acts chapter 16 when he was on the way onto a missionary journey.
Yep.
And he said that he had been trained, as these letters reveal, by his mother and his grandmother. Because they had intermixed with some Gentiles. And so he had an issue there. He was not a pure-blooded Jew.
That's right.
And this would find itself to be an obstacle as he went out to preach.
Mm-hmm.
With the reason being that the Jews might not want to hear you.
Yep.
Because you mixed with Gentile blood.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of the problem during the time when the kingdoms were united. As you remember, those of you Bible scholars here, you remember that in the first, let's say the reign of David was a united kingdom. All the 12 tribes were all together during that 30-year period when David reigned.
Mm-hmm.
And he was succeeded by his son Solomon,
who
also reigned over all the tribes, the 12 tribes, and for about 30 years. So they had about 60 years when they were all together as one group under a king that God had chosen.
Yes.
We won't talk about the time before David was chosen or the period of the judges or those other times.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying as Israel, who are the called out people of God. They were God's representatives on earth.
Amen.
They were supposed to be like what we consider the church to be today.
Yes.
God didn't just pick them and I'm just going to love them and that's it. He picked them to be a witness to the rest of the world.
Amen.
He made them a spectacle to the rest of the world. Why? Because he called them out. He blessed them. He was with them. All the things that God was doing to mediate his rule in the world were done through the Jews.
Yep.
And so some people saw it and they were attracted to it. Such people as like Rahab, for example. She saw that your God is the real God. And even though I'm a prostitute over here on the wall, I want to be with your God because he is the real God. And she got the message. People like Naaman, who was told that you got a disease, but hey, don't you know about a little slave girl down in Israel, there is a prophet of God who can heal your problem, your leprosy. And he went down there and he found out that the people of God were legitimate. You see, he went through some circumstance. Some of y'all know that story where he had to go and he was told to wash in the River Jordan 7 times and he would come up clean. You see, and so he went down there. There were different people. These are Gentiles who interacted with the Jews. And they found that their God, the God that the Jews proclaimed, was the real God. And so that was the purpose. That was working. Many people got saved.
That's right.
God never alienated anyone who approached him. And it's the same today with the church. The church is called to be a light in the midst of darkness.
Yes.
The church is called to have the right knowledge of God.
Amen.
And to represent that as you deport and you go out.
Yes.
See, that's what it says in that Baptist covenant, that we will be exemplary in our deportment.
Yes.
See, when we go out, we are examples of what it means to be saved.
Yes.
Why is that? It's because we're so wonderful and God knew we were going to be cute? No. It's because God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He woke you up one day when you were minding your own business like I told you I was. And he called you out of your foolishness. And how did he do it? This very way that we're talking about here now. Preach the word. Somebody preach the gospel.
That's right.
You heard the message.
Yes.
Why is it the gospel? Because it's good news.
Good news.
It's not just good news. It's the best news on this earth.
Yes.
There is no better news than the gospel.
Yes.
And why is it gospel? Euangelizo. What does that mean? That's the Greek word. It means the good message.
Yes.
It's the good word.
Yes.
It's the word that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son.
Yes.
That whosoever, that means anybody.
Anybody.
Any race, creed, tribe, tongue, people, whoever you are, you have been, you can be saved.
Yes.
So that's the idea that we have here with this message that's been entrusted to me and you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, preach the word.
Preach the word.
And we're talking about a specific word, which is about the Messiah.
That's right.
Who is the reason or the culmination of why Israel was called.
Yes.
That's the reason why Israel was separated. That's the reason why they were actually generated, if you will, and I'm going to explain that in a minute, by God, and it was by God's word. So there is a necessity to preach the word. If the word is not preached, sinners cannot be saved. If the word is not preached, the unrighteousness that remains in the people who are called cannot be cleansed.
No!
It's necessary that we hear the word in order for us to be able to walk in the word. To live a life that's pleasing to God. And so Paul had to learn that. He was obstinate against the word, as we just talked about. But when he got off his face out of the Damascus dust, blinded in his eyes physically. He was spiritually blind before that. And now God blinded him physically and allowed him to go and be led down to that very church that he was going to destroy. And they're going to tell you what you need to do. Ananias said, well, Lord, hey, I don't know about him now, Lord. He's been killing folk and he got a bad track record. You want me to do what? Tell him the gospel? Baptize him? And so he got down there and Ananias was obedient to God. And so the Apostle Paul that writes this letter got saved. When he got saved, it says that it was as it were great scales that fell from his eyes. And he could see. He could see that he was wrong. His two left shoes. He could see the reason why Israel had been called. He could see the reason why Jesus is the Christ. The Son of the living God. He could see why Messiah had to be crucified. See, that was a stumbling block, the Bible said, to the Jews. And to the Greeks, foolishness. But unto us who are being saved is both the power and the wisdom of God. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But it's good news to everyone who embraces the message. So there is a necessity to preaching the word. So what Paul did as he talked to Timothy, this is his second letter now to Timothy. He says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. See, before he would have just said, well, you know, I'm going to talk about God, but we don't know that this is the Messiah. But now he understands the real deal. That there is the Most High God, God the Father. And there is his Son, which he revealed in the Old Testament. But he couldn't see it. You know what? If you don't believe God, you can't see what God is. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus, right? He said, Nicodemus came, hey, Master, we know you are teacher come from God. Because no man can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him. And that's what he said, but he had a question in his heart, and Jesus knew what it was. And he looked him in the eye and said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
No way.
But that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. That means born from above. The Greek word is anothen, to be born from above. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born? He went into the flesh completely. Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? He said, the wind listeth and you hear the sound thereof, but you don't know where it came from. Neither do you know where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. See, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, you know it. Because now you believe it. There was a time you might not have believed it before, but you know it now. When you get saved, you know it. I think I can get a witness somewhere in here. When you get saved and you start to believe God, you know it. You don't know where it came from. You don't know why you stayed out so long doing what you was doing. You don't know why I resisted all that my mother said and all that the granny told me and all that the neighbor said. We don't know why we resisted it, because we know now in our heart of hearts that it's right. There's one way to be right. God is the only true seeker. We don't ever seek him. The Bible says no man seeketh after God.
No man.
But God is seeking you. He wants you to be saved. So there is a necessity to preaching the word. We have to preach the word, because without the word, no one can be saved. Without the word, no one can be sanctified. Sanctified means set apart. God wants to set you apart for a particular reason. He wants you to come to realize why you were born.
That's right.
He wants you to come to realize what you need to do as a part of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And he's teaching you that. And how does he do it? By preaching the word. When you hear the word, it's the preached word. How do we know this? Because it says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. See? So if we're going to get the faith that we need to do God's will, it's going to come through the necessity of preaching the word. You know what is popular today? They say, well, you know, you can't put too much Bible in your message. You're going to run people away. You just quote over the Bible, just put a little bit of what you think you should be in there. You know, but there's nothing like God's word. The reason is, the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Nothing like God's word. I can make a million stories. They won't touch your heart like one verse of God's word. That's why he told Timothy, I solemnly charge you, not just me, but in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. And that's the Christ Jesus who is to judge the living and the dead. And by his appearing, that means we know he came. He showed up. Why? Because he had to fulfill the Father's will.
That's right.
I didn't believe it at first, but I got it now, Paul was saying this, man. To preach by his appearing and his kingdom. When Jesus came, he said, go out and preach the kingdom. Tell them that the kingdom of God is among you. It's in your midst. You see? And so basically he said to Timothy, preach the word.
Preach the word.
Be ready or instant, the old King James says, in season and out of season. Now what does that mean? Let's talk about that. What is in season and out of season? Well, I hear a lot of stuff about that. You know, let's look at it this way. In clothes, after the certain period in the year, you put your white stuff away because it's out of season.
Can't wear that no more, right?
When a certain time of year rolls around, get the white stuff out the closet. Don't wear it. Because it's in season.
Yeah.
I got to put away this and take out that. So it's either in season or it's out of season. So if he said be instant, in season, and out of season, that means preach the word all the time. There is no time when you don't preach the word. All the time. In season, out of season. In other words, no matter whether it's fashionable or it's not. This has social impact as well. Because we live in a time when the culture is resistant to God's word. They think the Bible is one of many philosophies that we could grasp. If we want to use it. Some people are of the school of Confucius. Others are of the school of Buddha. There are some who are of the school of this, that, and the other. Zoroastrianism. And all of that. And it's okay, whatever school of thought you are. That's kind of like those Epicureans and those Stoics. Over in the book of Acts 17, Paul, when he met with them in the Areopagus, they got through with all of their spiel. And he got up and he preached the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And they said, oh, Paul, that's a really good story you got there, my friend. We may want to have you back again. That was really fascinating. And the Bible says not many of them were saved. Wow, he went there and preached. They heard the word, but they didn't get saved. You know why? Because they did not mix it with faith, the Bible says. They just thought this was another fascinating story. Right. Put that on the list with all the rest of them. We've heard from Socrates and Aristotle already. So that was very good. Very nice, Paul. Can you come back in a week and we'll put you back on the schedule again? But they didn't realize you heard the gospel. You heard the edict of the Most High God. You heard what God requires for every man, woman, boy, and girl on the planet.
Yeah.
Where he told them later on, he says that God does not dwell in temples made with hands.
Yeah.
That he inhabits the earth and the heavens can't even hold him.
Yeah.
because he is beyond all that.
Oh, yes, he is.
And so it's very crucial, very important that you and I remember the necessity of preaching the word. Yes. Now, you know something I know about your pastor? He loves the word.
Oh, yes, he does.
He loves the word. He's not going to deviate from the word. He was trained by somebody who taught him, just like Paul was telling Timothy.
Yes.
Preach the word.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No.
If somebody leaves, you know what? They need to go. When you get out there and the devil gets through trouncing you, maybe you will come back. But I need to tell you what thus saith the Lord. We ain't trying to hurt you. God is not trying to do you no harm. For the time will come, he speaks of the time in which you and I live. This was going on back at that time. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We have a time like that now. I can tell you. People don't want to hear sound doctrine. They don't even want to hear any kind of a reasonable thing. And they put out the Bible and bring in all the other junk and give it a higher place in the culture. They're teaching it in the schools. Then we want to know, why do we have 22 school shootings this year?
Wow. Yep.
And we don't blame it on the guns. You know what? Cain and Abel had murder in their life, and there wasn't no guns. Murder is in the spirit of the heart of a person who is being controlled by the devil. One way to get him out, replace him with the truth. Preach the word. The Bible that you threw out about 50 years ago, along with prayer and all that, that's what kept people from blowing each other away. But you don't want to face up to that. See, you put God out, what do you think is going to come in and fill me in the back? Well, we want to take the Ten Commandments down off the buildings, and we want to get the scriptures off of all this stuff. That's what you guys think. And then you see all this other stuff coming in. What do you think? Why can't you see? The reason is the blind, Jesus said, if the blind leads the blind, shall they both not fall into the ditch? It's even more necessary for me and you to preach the word. Because people don't know. Will you be persecuted? You might. There's persecution going on. Is that going to stop anything? No, it's not. It's what it will do, it will make sure that when you take your stand, and we all will, the Bible says we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what we did in our bodies, whether good or bad. See, so it will keep you out of trouble with God. If you preach the word, what does that involve? It says be ready or instant, in season, out of season. It involves these things: reprove, rebuke, exhort. And it says with great patience and instruction. That's what the church is. When you get rebuked by something, you know what? I'm rebuked more by my own preaching and other folks are preaching than any of you could ever be. I wish you really could just get in my head for about 10 minutes. You know, get in your pastor's head for about 10 minutes. Any of these preachers here. We uphold the word. You know what? It's cutting me too. That's why it says the word of God is a two-edged sword. If it's cutting you, it's cutting me too. Something in there is for me. When you preach, he told Timothy, you listen to yourself and the stuff you're teaching. And you will save not only those who hear you, but also yourself. That's how the word is. We have to preach it because the time has already come. He says reprove. That means show people what the word says and why it's true. Rebuke is just an automatic reaction to when we hear something that opposes the way we live. That's what a rebuke is. Exhortation means to encourage you that you can do God's will. God has forgiven you already if you trust his son. You are 100% forgiven, and now you can do something about it. That's what exhortation is. God has empowered you and filled you with the Holy Spirit. You can do something about your problem. You don't have to stay that way anymore. God has broken the chains, every one of them. And exhortation says, I don't have to do this thing that I'm doing. God will get me out of it. He got me out of the mess I was in when I was lost. And he said, I'm not going to ever leave you nor forsake you. So I'm going to be in you. I'm a cleansing agent, washing you and forgiving you. I'm a merciful God. How often does God give you mercy? The Bible says it's new every day. Every morning. Great is our faithfulness. Oh, Lord. Every morning you get a fresh new batch of mercy because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. So we ought to take great patience. In other words, we don't just throw you out because you're having a problem. We shoulder up with you and help you to get past it. We give you a system of accountability so you can clean it up out of your life. Whatever it is.
Yes.
So the exhortation is very important. And then it says with great patience and instruction. We teach you how to do what God said. Not just what he said. And let it cut you every which way but loose. But we also shoulder up with you and say, I'm here with you. There's three people on your road suffering. They're dealing with the same thing. You think the devil done told you, oh no, you're the only one got that problem. You're all by yourself now. Ain't nobody thinking about you. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. There's three more folks in your row. There's 3-4 on your street. There's 7 or 8 over here. There's a support group over there. All in the Word, all have the same problem you have. And they're anxious to get with somebody else so I don't have to feel isolated. But I'm the only one dealing with this. So that's where the instruction comes from. But you know what? They want you to lay on the sofa. Tell me, did your mother drop you on your head when you was a baby? And they think they're going to psychoanalyze you. And that's going to help you. But what you need is the Word of God. The Word will clean you up entirely. Let me say this. The Word of God doesn't need any of those things. I'm not saying they're totally unnecessary. But the Word of God is complete. It's complete for every need that we have in the church. And so when the culture gets like it is now, which Paul says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, tell us something to make us feel good and happy. I've heard somebody say that here this morning. That's what we really want to hear. That's what the lady from Rock Hill said. You know, well, we don't really want to be rebuked, but we know we need it. I do. I'm not going to speak for y'all. I need it. I want to hear a strong word. I'm wondering how can I still be so messed up after all the word I heard. That's what I'm wondering. Like, God, you open this up and I understand it and I can teach it just the way you said it. But I still got some issues. We don't want to say that, boy. You don't hear that in public, do you? But we need it. You know, I think God picks the biggest basket case he can find, maybe, and makes him into a preacher.
He can, he does.
Because we know, right, well, I know what it's like to be stuck on some stuff, some drugs and whatever else. I can tell you all about it, unfortunately. Thank God I'm clean. I got a list of stuff I can tell you. I'm done with that forever. I'm worried about the other stuff now. But I'm not really worried about it because God covered me. And I'm working on it. I'm praying on it. I'm moving in the right direction. Somebody say that I'm on the right road now. I fixed it up with Jesus. You remember that? And so I'm moving on in his name. So what we have to do is realize the culture that we're in. People want to have their ears tickled. They don't want to deal with the truth. They would rather have somebody give them medication or something else to deal with their problems. For they will accumulate unto themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. But will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. See, God didn't give you no myths. He gives you the truth. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's how you get free. Stay in the truth. Keep on walking in the truth. The truth will make you free. It's not going to set you free. Somebody said that. But the translation says it's going to make you free. See? So God is the one doing it. Now think about this. I want to add this now. I think we need a moment of exhortation. Philippians chapter 1, written by the same person we've been talking about. Paul, he says, I am confident of this very thing. That he which hath began a good work in you shall continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. So you know what? When you got saved, you got the whole deal. It's paid in full. Everything you need. For it's God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's not going to stop till the day of Jesus Christ. And I already covered you with righteousness. I already gave you holiness. I already called you mine. I adopted you in my family. You are my child. I love you just like you are. But I'm going to love you too much to leave you that way. And I'm working on it. It's his work.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's his work.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's God who is at work in you.
Yeah.
Both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Yeah.
He's working on you.
Yeah.
And we work better when we work in harmony or in concert with God. See, and so stay in the word. There is a necessity to hear the word. Don't let the smooth taste of the world fool you. You see, because it's going to get you in trouble. But he said, but you, speaking to Timothy, be sober in all things. That means down earth, have a solid, grounded, biblical thought about everything. Not a one like the world, but just the opposite. Drunken and let me just inebriate myself so I don't feel so bad. None of that. But you be sober in all things. Endure hardship. This won't be the easy way. It's going to be the hard way. But it's the right way. Do the work of an evangelist. That means share the message. An evangelist is a bearer of the good news.
That's it.
Every Christian, to some extent, is an evangelist.
That's right.
If you know the good news, you can tell somebody else. You don't have to necessarily be in the church. We are sent out of the church to evangelize the world. And God has scattered you like salt all over different places. There's somebody in each one of your lives who I will never ever see. Even with my wife, she knows people I won't ever see. And I know people she won't ever see. Even though we're married. We've been married, we'll be 10 years here, Sharpie. Thank you. Coming up here in October.
Yeah.
But there's people in your life other folks don't know and you don't know. But God put you there.
Yeah.
So who's going to tell them? Who's responsible?
You are.
Yeah. And you know what? Jesus said, let your light so shine.
Yeah.
Lord, you just live the life that people are going to come to you.
Yeah.
Mother Bartley, why are you so peaceful all the time? How can you handle everything you're dealing with?
Yeah.
See, just tell me about that. These days, when their ears open, drop the gospel.
Yeah.
And let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Yeah.
See? So when you get that opportunity, you don't have to rush it. God's going to set it up.
Yeah.
And they're going to be saying to you, Brother Ray, how can you handle that situation? And then you get a chance to share the gospel.
Yes.
So he tells him here, notice what Paul says, fulfill your ministry.
Yeah.
Do it all. Don't let the devil shut you up. I like what I heard Sister Ward say. I was thinking about, you know what, I used to play music, and I think I probably was geared toward it because I didn't know how to dance. I said, okay, since I don't dance, I'll make the music and they can dance. See, but I thought about what she said, and every Christian, when you see what the devil did, and the kind of mess he does in your life to try to mess it up, you can do that stomp. I'm gonna dance now.
Yeah.
Dance on your head. Because God has given me authority over you.
Yeah.
You look like one of the flamingo people. Back and forth. Paul said, he said, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. That was about the last act of sacrifice in the temple. They would pour out a drink offering. And it would kind of quench the flame of the burnt offering. So he said, that's at the end of my worship, in my time of worship. My whole life is worship to God. He said, I'm already being poured out, because he knew that there was Nero's chopping block was waiting for him, because he would be condemned even though he had done nothing wrong. See? But he said, that's okay, I'm good with that. Why? Because I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. And henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also all who have loved his appearing. Amen. He's going. When you show up, you don't have to worry about it. Nero can kill the body, but Jesus said, you know, don't worry about him who can kill the body, and that's all he can do. But worry about him who can kill the body and soul and cast both into hell. That's the one you should fear.
That's right.
So I'm just going to close with a few statements here. The necessity of preaching the word. Why? Because God has commanded it.
That's right.
The highest office that there is in the universe has commanded you to preach the word.
Preach.
Another reason is the saved and the lost need it.
That's right.
The saved need it so they can continue on their sanctification. The lost need it so they can get saved.
Yeah.
And get on that right road. Heading toward the right direction instead of the way of the world. The Bible says if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you got to get off of that whole thing. How high can I stack a bunch of junk that I'm going to leave anyway? Don't let that influence you. It's all right to have stuff, but it's not all right if stuff got you.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, why is it necessary to preach the word? Because the Holy Spirit energizes it. You know what Jesus told them? He said, go ye to all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father. That assumes some of them are going to hear that message and get saved. And what do I need to do to be saved? You tell them, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So it's necessary to bring in the flock that God wants to call.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit will energize the message. When he said, go, we call it the Great Commission.
Yeah. That's what it is.
That's because it's his mission that we are the co-pilot.
Right.
He's the pilot. You're the co-pilot.
Yeah.
You are the physical person that a person sees, but it's the Holy Ghost in you that convicts them when you tell them the truth.
Right.
You can be by yourself. There's two witnesses there.
That's right.
You and the Holy Spirit. And they'll know what you said is true. They don't have to. God didn't force them to believe it. But they will know. They have heard the truth. And that's why he said if they don't receive it, just shake the dust. Keep on going. Shake the dust and move along. So what happened? You sowed the seed, God's word. You are a sower who went out to sow. Now when you sow the seed, if they don't receive it, shake the dust. Now you got seeds and dust. And then he says one plants and another waters. Somebody else will tell them, but God gives the increase. Now you got dirt, seeds, water, boom, you get it worked. That's the way that works. So we don't have to make you believe it. We just don't throw the seed or either throw some water and hit the road.
That's it.
Shake the dust. God gives the increase. And he gets the glory. So why is it necessary to preach the word? The devil and the host of hell hate it.
That's right.
Because it's getting people free.
Yeah.
Getting them free. Taking them off dope. Taking them off alcohol. Taking them off prostitution.
Yeah.
Taking them off all manner of different kinds of vices.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's upsetting his kingdom.
Yeah.
Long as you stuck in it, he don't care. I got you good because you all just engrossed in my kingdom. But the word can break his chains and give you victory.
Yeah.
And finally, I want to say the necessity of preaching the word is that we will never regret it.
Never.
In eternity, you will never regret it. Because you did what God said.
Never regret.
And that's how you fulfill your charge. So I want to say to my good friend and this beautiful first lady, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. God loves you. You're doing a good work. I like what Brother Level said. Stay on the wall for another 4 years. Or however many years God gives you. If it's 40-fold, stay up there. And keep on sowing.
Yeah.
Like Pastor McGee said that. He said he's been sowing for 40 years.
Yeah.
Keep on sowing.
Yeah.
Keep on preaching.
Yeah.
And God's going to give the increase.
Yes, he will.
Amen. New prospect. We thank you, and we thank you for your attention. We pray that you got a good word from the message today.